Well, good evening, everybody. This is a lovely night, isn't it? Wanted to first thank Pegasus and our artists for being out here tonight, for entertaining everyone before we got started here. Really appreciate their presence. So thank you all for joining us this beautiful evening to celebrate the city we love. Thanks specifically to the Green Bay Botanical Garden for hosting us tonight, to Chairman Hill and the Oneida Nation for welcoming us to Oneida land, and to our honor guard, our joint honor guard, our police and fire for being here this evening. I also wanted to make a note, there were a number of police officers and firefighters lined up here to lead us in the pledge. There were so many tremendous acts of heroism that were conducted by them. This year we wanted to recognize them and have them up here on stage leading us in that pledge. So thanks to them for being here, and more importantly for all the work that they do all year long. As I said, Pegasus was providing the music for us tonight and will be after my comments are concluded. We had Kent Hutchison and Gregory Frederick providing us with this beautiful art piece that Kent and Gregory will speak to a little bit later in the program. And thanks, of course, to all the community leaders, elected and otherwise, for joining us tonight. If all those who have been elected, either currently or previously, if they could stand so we could recognize you all for your presence this evening. And I want to specifically acknowledge members of our Common Council for being here, and for more importantly, for the work they do on behalf of residents every single day. Every major decision we make in the city must be affirmed or rejected by our Common Council, and I'm grateful to each and every member for bringing their unique perspectives and philosophies to inform and shape the governance of our community. Leadership is a collaborative enterprise, or at least I believe it to be when it's done best, which is why I've focused on maintaining open lines of communication with all of our alders. I've also enjoyed a really strong personal and professional relationship with our county executive, Troy Streckenbach. The interests of cities and counties inevitably diverge at points, but they align more often than not, and it's at these points of alignment that we focus to do the work of our residents we serve jointly. The same could be said of the renewed relationship and the philosophy of cooperative governance, which was formalized earlier this year between the City of Green Bay and the Oneida Nation. And the chairman spoke to this, but the Oneida Nation has had a long-standing economic and cultural impact in our region, reaching back to the first half of the 19th century. The United people have resided in Northeast Wisconsin since before the city of Green Bay was established. Oneida people came to the state of Wisconsin after fighting on the side of the colonists in the Revolutionary War and after having been displaced from their ancestral homeland by the New York state government. Since 1838, the Oneida Nation has called home the 65,400 acres in Southwest Brown County and Northern Outagamie County, a portion of which has since been incorporated into the boundaries of the city of Green Bay. This overlapping portion of the city is what necessitates the cooperative governance agreement between our two governments. The agreement that's now in force recognizes the value of land transferred into federal trust and removed from property tax rolls, and it establishes a fair rate of compensation for the city. As importantly, however, the agreement also recognizes the value of a well-functioning relationship between the city and the nation, enabling our respective governments to engage in the joint provision of public safety services, infrastructure development, and other mutually beneficial partnerships. This agreement is a two-way street, with its true value in recognizing the benefits that accrue to the City of Green Bay, the United Nation, and our respective citizens and members with a formal agreement in place. Green Bay and the United Nation are uniting and cooperating for the common good. This is something to celebrate in our current divisive political climate. There are many forces active in our politics that seek division, but there's little reason to concede to that pressure, especially in this case. The United people are our friends and neighbors. The United Nation is sovereign. The United Nation and the City of Green Bay are stronger when we work together. That much and more is even clearer to me now than it was when we began the journey of collaboration, and I hope it's clear to the people of the nation and the city we jointly serve. So thanks again for the chairman for his introduction, and thanks to all members of the United Nation for being here. Appreciate this partnership. So I stand here today to make that point even clearer and more broadly. Unity is stronger than division. Love is more powerful than hate. Green Bay is capable of and destined for greatness. Our history as a people is great and heroic and tragic and complicated. It's also inspiring. What this city has been through in the last 2 years has been an intense distillation of much good and bad. Our future is bright, but it's undetermined. And it's up to us to unite in the face of division to make a future for our city that's worthy of our proudest traditions and fit for our kids and grandkids. But first, let's talk about these last 2 years. It's been quite a ride, huh? I don't know that the job description of mayor fully encompassed everything I've faced in my first 2 years in office, and I've joked that if it had, the list of applicants might have been a little shorter. But that's true of the job of citizen, too. And it's profoundly true of all our community's healthcare workers and frontline workers generally, including city employees and police, fire, sanitation, water, engineering, and the list goes on. That's true of our kids and our teachers who endured academic and psychological challenges that were previously unimaginable. In short, it's true of us all. We got far more than we bargained for during this past pandemic year. And yet, our community has emerged on the other side, eager to move forward to take on the challenges and opportunities we face in a united way. This is not to say that we all emerged from the pandemic, of course. Here in Greater Green Bay, we lost over 240 residents to COVID-19. Over 600,000 Americans have perished, including 8,000 Wisconsinites. For them and their families, please join me in a moment of silence to recognize this immeasurable loss. Thank you. It's important to mourn this loss of life. It's also important to mourn the loss of social life we experienced during the pandemic. Humans were not meant to live as we did during this pandemic, but we did it to keep our most vulnerable friends and neighbors safe. The sacrifice was worth it, but the psychic wounds brought on by social isolation are still with us. Now more than ever, it's essential that we come together, physically, socially, emotionally, to care for one another and reconstruct our community in a way that's more cohesive, resilient, and equitable. Now, COVID-19 wasn't good for much of anything at all. I think that's obvious. But I think it has taught us what matters to us most and maybe showed us what we're capable of when we're at our best. Two things stand out. Social bonds are everything. And change, if painful, is possible. These are two lessons I know I'll hold on to for many years to come. Looking back a bit further, thinking about the last 2 years of our work in the city of Green Bay, I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish. Maybe most importantly, if a little mundanely, we've put ourselves on very strong financial footing. Thanks to the support of our Common Council and with the guidance of our expert finance department, led by Director Diana Ellenbecker and Assistant Director Pam Manley, we've made decisions to eliminate the use of one-time spending, identify sustainable sources of revenue, draft and adopt a 5-year capital improvement plan, and prioritize the services that our residents need most. As a result, we've been able to build up our fund balance from $26.5 million to a little over $30 million from the end of 2019 until the end of 2020. This is a sign of fiscal strength, and it should also improve our bond rating, which will make borrowing on capital projects more affordable in future years. In addition, the budgets that we've adopted increase the number of authorized and funded police officer positions from 180 to 187, including the addition of 2 more crisis intervention trained officers. And we've added another firefighter back to our fire department. And thanks to the wise deployment of revenue associated with the wheel tax and bonded dollars, our Department of Public Works, under Director Steve Grenier's leadership, has dramatically increased the budget for filling cracks and potholes and has increased the lane miles reconstructed nearly 40% when comparing 2020 to the 10-year average. Another essential service, and one that depends on a solid network of roads, is Green Bay Metro Transit. Under Patty Kiewicz's tremendous leadership, Metro has continued to innovate to provide reliable, affordable service to our city's residents. Patty's also instituted the first microtransit service in the state of Wisconsin, enabling riders in certain areas of our community to hail a GB Metro on-demand microtransit bus that will take them within a block of their intended destination. For transit lovers and observers, this is an incredibly exciting development, which points the way toward the future of mobility in this city and in communities around the world. Metro also recently formed a unique partnership with Brown County Public Health and our area healthcare providers to deploy a bus as a mobile vaccination unit to visit community businesses, organizations, and events in our collective effort to promote COVID vaccinations. This is the kind of community-focused, collaborative work Patty and Metro are well known for, and I feel very optimistic about the future of GB Metro Transit under her leadership. A spirit of teamwork and collaboration is also something Director Mike Hronik and his IT department are known for. This ethic couldn't have been more clearly displayed during these pandemic months as many city employees left the physical workplace and set up remote offices in their homes. Almost literally overnight, our way of doing business was upended and has been dramatically changed forever. But none of it would have been possible without the total dedication of Mike and his team to making whatever changes were necessary to carry on the city's business. He's also filming us tonight, so thanks, Mike. Our human resources and law departments have also gone above and beyond before and during the pandemic to serve city residents and employees. Our HR department, under the leadership of Joe Falds, has taken a more active role in shaping the operations of the organization, working with the business community, with our Chamber of Commerce, to improve processes and services, and working with employees internally to modernize the workplace, instituting flexible work schedules, a more casual dress code, and a flattened organizational philosophy with a focus on employee engagement, and formalizing strategic plans for each of our departments and the city as a whole. Our city law department, led by our city attorney Vanessa Chavez, has been an equally instrumental in representing and advising us as we've navigated the challenging legal waters of 2020. Vanessa and her team have also played critical roles in countless other consequential actions, including drafting the Cooperative Governance Agreement with the United Nations, writing numerous development agreements, and taking on several successful and ongoing legal cases. Again, these are the basics of city government, but in order to achieve everything else, it's essential that we focus on strengthening our financial position, securing our infrastructure, breaking down internal and external silos, and providing our police and fire departments with the resources they need to keep us safe. And that's what we've done. And speaking of public safety, our fire department, truly one of the finest in the country, led by Chief David Litton, who you saw earlier tonight, is an incredible example of the commitment to service excellence we're trying to live throughout our organization. The men and women of Local 141 are an incredible group of public servants whose exceptional work has made possible the recent merger with the Village of Bellevue's Fire Department, which was orchestrated by Chief Litton, as well as Assistant Chiefs Rob Goplin and Ryan Gibbons. This has led to more efficient provision of fire service in Southeast Green Bay and also Bellevue, and it's led to the improvement of Bellevue's Insurance Services Office rating and the continuation of Green Bay's top rating. Our police department, under the past leadership of Chief Andrew Smith and the interim stewardship of Chief Jim Runge, has also accomplished a great deal in the past 2 years, including the adoption of body-worn cameras for all officers in the city of Green Bay, thanks to our partnership with the Green Bay Packers. Our officers also defused and de-escalated a number of very tense and dangerous standoff situations, delivered a baby outside of Walgreens, compassionately engaged with our homeless residents on countless occasions, and intervened to end the shooting at the Radisson without additional loss of life among bystanders. The list of good deeds goes on, and words fail to capture the work they do, but I am immensely proud of the commitment shown by our officers to the safety of our citizens every single day. Another service we provide, and really maybe the most essential of all, is drinking water by the City of Green Bay's water utility. General Manager Nancy Quirk and the entirety of her team are a talented and committed group that quietly go about the work of providing residents and businesses some of the best tasting, award-winning, I would add, safest, and most reliable drinking water in the country. And it is thanks to Nancy's leadership and the dedication of our frontline utility workers that we've gotten the let out of all of Green Bay's pipes. This milestone was celebrated in the summer of 2020 and has been recognized by the Environmental Protection Agency as a truly noteworthy achievement. But that's not all we've done, and it would be insufficient if we were to limit our aspirations in this way. Green Bay is destined for greatness, and we can achieve it by achieving the city we all know is possible. We'll do this by constructing a community for all, by creating a community that is dynamic, inclusive, and beautiful, one that focuses on jobs, justice, and joy. To steal the frame of urban designer, thinker, and architect Vishan Chakrabarty. Chakrabarty recently said in a talk I observed virtually that sometimes cities have fallen into the trap of focusing too singularly on job creation. I think he's right. Now, that doesn't mean that we back away from the responsibility of doing everything we can to foster economic opportunity and security for our residents, but it does mean that we should have a broader vision for our community and our citizens. On the topic of jobs or economic development generally, in spite of the obvious burdens of COVID, which were borne disproportionately by our frontline workers and our service and hospitality industry businesses, our community is strong economically and continues to grow stronger each day. Thanks to the recent addition of Director Neil Steck-Schulte to our Department of Community and Economic Development and the longstanding leadership of Assistant Director Cheryl Rainier Wigg and the great work of their whole team, we are in position to assist with this resurgence. Within the past few months, I've attended numerous ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings for businesses large and small. Thankfully, we remain a community that's growing in population and economic activity, which we'll continue to cultivate by connecting with businesses and individuals who want to invest in Green Bay and offering them the support we have at our disposal. And we've had some good success recently. Earlier this spring, I attended the ribbon cutting at a new Prevea clinic on our west side, a $23.1 million clinic near St. Mary's Hospital. I also attended the groundbreaking of a new BayCare Orthopedics and Sports Medicine clinic in our I-43 Industrial Park, which continues to be an economic development success story. This 130,000 square foot project will house a consolidated orthopedics and sports medicine operation, but it will also be home to Green Bay CrossFit, a rooftop track, and a number of other businesses to benefit the surrounding residents. Just a mile or so west of our industrial park, you've probably seen work being done to reinvent the Easttown Mall. Thanks to owner and developer Garrett Bader and anchor light industrial tenant American Tent, Easttown Mall is experiencing a rebirth. By innovatively repurposing the building for American Tent's expanded manufacturing operation, Garrett and American Tent's owner and CEO Tony Airbar have made it possible to bring retail back to a site that has suffered from disinterest and disinvestment for quite some time. Oh, and how about that new mill at Green Bay Packaging? This investment, north of $500 million, is the first new mill to have opened in the state of Wisconsin in over 30 years. They could have gone elsewhere, but they chose Green Bay because of our people, first and foremost, but also because of the collaborative nature of the financial incentives offered to them by our state, our county, and our city under the leadership of former Mayor Schmidt and former Director of Community and Economic Development, Kevin Vonk, and of course, our Common Council. In addition to these exciting business developments, Green Bay's Common Council and Redevelopment Authority also recently approved a couple development agreements that move us forward to our goals of continuing to offer additional housing opportunities and urban amenities in our downtown core. These projects in the shipyard and at the old farmers market parking lot on Monroe Avenue are exciting news for all residents and taxpayers. But this is particularly good news for those of us who continue to believe a vibrant and expanding and inclusive downtown are keys to our community's success in the long term. The project at 200 North Monroe consists of 172 market rate apartment units and includes plans for a full service grocery store and space for UWGB to house their continuing education programming, financial assistance mentoring, and their Center for Civic Engagement. The shipyard development, which is being led by the team at Merge Urban Development, includes 225 apartment units, a restaurant bar, and public improvements to our west side shoreline, including a boardwalk, floating docks, and a kayak launch. The Merge project, conservatively valued at $21 million, is the spark we needed to ignite even more interest in and development of South Broadway, an area of our city that has been long neglected, but which has limitless development opportunities, especially if we're able to relocate the Sea Rice coal operation. Yes, our beloved coal piles. Mayors of Green Bay, going back roughly 70 years, have vowed to move them. So it's kind of a curse to be obligated to make a similar pledge. But I do sincerely believe the timing is right. The former Pulliam Power Plant property is fit for this kind of industrial port use, which is supported by the current owner, Brown County. Site acquisition was assisted by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Secretary Missy Hughes, and Governor Evers. This level of collaboration is really what makes a prospective relocation possible, in addition to the support of our state and federal legislators and a willing partner in Sea Rice itself, thanks to the Crow family's understanding of the need to redevelop our riverfront for the 21st century. To relocate the operation to an exclusively industrial area and to redevelop the existing location to benefit the residents of one of the most diverse and disadvantaged neighborhoods in the city will be a positive community development. But more than that, it's recognition too that justice needs to be at the heart of this conversation and many others here in the city. This desire to inject justice into our politics is what has always inspired my public service. And it animates the recent work of our city, including the acquisition of 26.5 acres of land from JBS, plus a $500,000 donation. Now they say you're not supposed to look a gift horse in the mouth, but sometimes it's worth a little peek, and it was in this case. When JBS approached the city with the offer of their generous donation, I graciously accepted, but I also asked them if they might be willing to part with that unused land. Ultimately, they agreed, which gives us the opportunity to reimagine a corner of our community that has been neglected for too long. We'll have a number of conversations with neighborhood residents and stakeholders to inform our redevelopment efforts before any plans are solidified, but at a high level, we'd love to see the creation of a destination playground, an urban farm, and a variety of housing options for people of diverse incomes. Taking ownership of a greenfield of this scale, adjacent to a neighborhood in need of investment, is an incredibly unique opportunity, and it's one that we take very seriously. Shifting back to our communities and country's recent past, few cities were left untouched by the movement for Black Lives, which reached its peak in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd last spring. Here in Green Bay, we were witness to the largest peaceful demonstration the city has ever seen, when thousands of people of all ages, races, creeds, and backgrounds joined together in Lyke Park and marched throughout our downtown, raising their voices for peace and justice and multiracial democracy. This was a proud moment for our community, and it's in this spirit that we will continue to push forward. Our recent work on diversity and inclusion, environmental resilience, and democracy promotion are some illustrative examples of what it means when we say justice for all in Green Bay. In 2020, we hired Raya Sankari-Diaz, our diversity and inclusion coordinator, who's been tasked with staffing our newly created and citizen-led Equal Rights Commission and working on city initiatives and with city staff to create a workplace that's inclusive and a workforce that's reflective of our city's diversity. She's also been instrumental in connecting the city with UWGB's Center for Civic Engagement to develop a dialogue series that features discussions on topics such as the diversity within our community's Latino population and a history of policing in Northeast Wisconsin and its connection to our industrial heritage, as well as an upcoming conversation this fall centered on an Indigenous people's history of Northeast Wisconsin. We're doing this work because it makes us stronger, more cohesive, and better informed as an organization and city, but we're also engaged in this project because it's the right and just thing to do. That's also what's driven us to employ our resiliency coordinator, Melissa Schmitz, who works within our Department of Public Works and in tandem with our citizen-led sustainability commission. She's been with us for about 9 months and has accomplished a great deal in a short period of time, including leading projects to benchmark the city's energy usage, increase our solar energy output, implement suggested changes as a result of a green infrastructure code audit, draft a city resiliency plan to fight flooding, and develop a city climate action plan to do our part to reduce carbon emissions. This work is necessary for all urban communities during this time of climate change, and I'm encouraged by the progress we've made as a result of our dedicated staff and citizens, but I know that we can and must do more in years ahead. The work continues to strengthen our democracy as well, which we are well positioned to do thanks to the leadership of our city clerk, Celestine Jeffries. Warped and dishonest portrayals of the fall 2020 election continue to live on in conspiratorial corners of our politics, but I continue to be immensely proud of the work our city and community did during this time. Recognizing the absolute necessity of offering all eligible voters the chance to participate in our state and federal elections in the fall of 2020, we responded to a number of fronts to the difficulties of the spring election. We endorsed Alder Dorff's idea to create an ad hoc elections committee, which included alders, clerk staff, citizen members, and chief elections inspectors. This group had vital discussions regarding polling locations, poll worker recruitment, and drop box placement, and proved helpful in supporting the work of the clerk's office in preparing for and administering the fall election. In addition, we retained funds from the nonpartisan, nonprofit Center for Tech and Civic Life, thanks to the unanimous support of our Common Council. These grant dollars were used to offer hazard pay to poll workers, purchase high-speed tabulators for absentee ballot processing, install drop boxes to increase the convenience of absentee voting, and disseminate nonpartisan information about voting options. Additionally, we were able to enhance the inclusivity of our elections by translating voter guides into Spanish, Hmong, and Somali, and assure the security of the process for voters and poll workers by working with our police department to monitor all polling location, transport drop box ballots, and offer security at our central count operation. These resources served as a lifeline to our community. And to scores of others around the state of Wisconsin. And the remaining grant dollars will continue to support our work to provide safe and secure opportunities for eligible voters to participate in our elections in the years ahead. As we look toward this work, we are optimistic about our local community and our democracy, but the health of both won't be taken for granted. Assuring the continued existence of secure, free, and fair elections in the city of Green Bay, modernizing their administration, and improving upon their accessibility and inclusivity will continue to be among our highest priorities. And a robust understanding and appreciation for real democracy will also guide our discussion of how best to use the $23.7 million federal investment we received as a result of the American Rescue Plan. There are restrictions on how these dollars can be used, not to fill potholes. And we need to shore up our internal finances before looking outward. But we need and want citizen input on efforts allowed under federal rules, such as improving our environment and fighting flooding, investing in more affordable housing options throughout the city, strengthening and improving the safety of all Green Bay's neighborhoods, spurring economic activity in neighborhoods and industries hit hardest by COVID, and seeding the arts and culture organizations and creators that bring people to our city and spark joy in our community's life. And that's the last big piece of the puzzle I'd like to highlight tonight, joy. This might seem like something a city government shouldn't be focused on creating, but I don't share that sentiment. We absolutely need to focus on the basics, but we have no choice other than to walk and chew gum at the same time. Even people as serious as our country's founders understood the importance of happiness. Life and liberty come first, but the pursuit of happiness comes right after in our Declaration of Independence. We too prioritize cultivating joy and happiness wherever and whenever possible. The city has been in this business for some time, but we're striving to take things to the next level. Tonight's program featured some fantastic visual and musical artists who represent these priorities, which have been advanced in large part because of the leadership of our Public Arts Commission, with the integral work and assistance of Laura Schley, the city's public arts coordinator. We have a proud history here of embracing art and artists from the Civic Symphony to community theater, to the Widener Center, to longstanding festivals like Art Street, and fairly recent arrivals like Untitled Town. But prior to the creation of the Public Arts Commission in 2016, the city had not made the creation of public art a priority. Artists make art, governments don't, but we can and should fund art to benefit our community. Recently unveiled examples include Brandon Minga's Salvagelli on Adams Street, Dave Windy's giant metal dandelion off University Avenue, and the art in our bus stops thanks to the work of Preble High School students. This is great stuff, and I can promise that there's more to come, thanks to the continued support of our Redevelopment Authority and Common Council, and the investment of our private businesses and business improvement districts. Arts and culture investments make positive impacts in our neighborhoods, creating safer and more attractive places, and they're helpful when competing for limited tourist dollars. But I also feel like justifying the utility of art cheapens its value. To me, the value of art is self-evident in its beauty, the fun it indicates and creates, and the joy it brings. Art is valuable for art's sake, and we will continue to sing its praises and argue for its necessity because our residents appreciate it and deserve it. Something else our citizens appreciate are the city's parks and programs. We're blessed with parks, big and small, in all corners of our city. And we are fortunate to have a department led by people like Dan Ditchite and James Anderson, who understand the importance of their mission of bringing natural spaces, pools, programming, and kid-friendly and family-focused activities to all the city's residents. Now, of course, we can't talk about our city's parks without celebrating Bay Beach Amusement Park. Some people think the happiest place on earth is in some swamp in Florida, but it's really right here on the shores of Green Bay. And it's only getting better, with the boardwalk and fishing pier being constructed next year, as well as the swimmable beach shortly thereafter. We're poised to restore our connection to the bay and add another incredibly unique and valuable amenity for our residents of our city and region. This project has taken many twists and turns, which happens with any large-scale redevelopment effort, especially when Mother Nature has something to say about it. But this effort will be worth the wait. Something else we've had to wait a little bit longer to launch than we intended is a Green Bay Conservation Corps. Thanks to the work of my chief of staff, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, and our fantastic park staff, we have won a planning grant to implement a conservation corps, which will deploy young people and older residents to improve our parks and natural spaces, planting trees and shrubs, beautifying our city, and bettering themselves by gaining knowledge and giving back to our community. This is an exciting new initiative that exemplifies much of what we're trying to create here, a city that recognizes the vitality of our natural spaces and the benefits that accrue to us all when they're cared for and improved and accessible to everyone. The accessibility and safety of our public spaces, including our streets, sidewalks, bike lanes, and even our parking spaces with the addition of our parklet program. The one space we'll almost never find joy in, though, is the space behind a windshield, especially if you're stuck in traffic because the Mason Street Bridge is up. Maybe too soon on that one. Driving a car to home and work is a necessity for many of us, obviously, but it need not be the only way, and it shouldn't be the ideal at the center of urban design. Our Safe Walk and Bike Plan, which was a collaborative effort developed and approved by the Green Bay School Board and Common Council, is a terrific roadmap that calls for us to make more space safe for pedestrians and cyclists to get from point A to point B. This has proved to be a great starting point for us, but we know that we need to go further, which is why we commissioned a shared corridor vision for our downtown that emphasizes the importance of reclaiming space for art, entertainment, and the safe movement of people outside of motor vehicles. This is the dominant and governing philosophy in nearly all cities that are growing and thriving, and it's the direction we need to go as well. We're fortunate to be a community and region that is gaining population, but we need to harness this growth in a smart way that creates greater density with good human-focused design. This really is the best way to create a joyous community, a city that's attractive and welcoming to longtime residents and recent arrivals, to visiting football fans and business travelers, to people of all experiences and backgrounds who share a desire to find community in the city that is safe, compassionate, and fun. So that's what I'd like you to remember tonight. Jobs, justice, and joy. Helping to create this city that takes these priorities seriously, engaging in this collaborative project, is what motivates so many people to do what we do for this community. I was born and raised in Green Bay. I'm incredibly proud of who we are as a people and what we're capable of. And I know we absolutely have the ability to be an even greater version of our best self. Green Bay is an exceptional city, in a great state, in an indispensable nation, and I'm very lucky to be your mayor. So thanks so much for joining us tonight. But before I leave you, I do want to take some time to recognize a few people for their work on behalf of this community this past year by designating the employee, the small business, and our citizens of the year. All award winners represent what's best about this city, and I'm very excited to be able to highlight their contributions to this community with a small token of our recognition and appreciation. So first, our employee of the year. Sadly, he's not able to join us tonight, had some personal obligations, so couldn't be here, but I do need to mention that when I made the announcement to a few people that Tom Giese was going to be the employee of the year, to a person, everybody was incredibly excited for Tom. Thomas H. Giese began his tenure with the city as a seasonal employee from 1981 to 1986 and was hired as a full-time staff member on September 8, 1986. On September 8th of this year, 2021, Tom will have diligently served the city for 40 years in the Department of Public Works, serving under five separate Public Works directors. Tom currently serves in the position of right-of-way specialist and surveyor in the Department of Public Works and holds a certification as a public land surveyor, which denotes an accredited professional who conducts land surveys to measure and define real property and its boundaries and is actively involved with the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Tom is widely respected for his historical knowledge, not only in the Department of Public Works, but also citywide knowledge and history. He served as project manager on some of the largest land acquisition projects the city has undertaken, such as right-of-way acquisitions for reconstruction of Military Avenue, Velp Avenue, Monroe Avenue, and most recently, Webster Avenue. Tom brings a positive attitude and exemplary work ethic to the City of Green Bay community of employees and has been instrumental in developing upgrades to process and technology. It is fitting and proper that the City of Green Bay recognize Tom for his commitment and dedication to his work and to public service for the City of Green Bay's residents. So please join me in recognizing Tom for that tremendous work. Now our citizens of the year, plural this year. Healthcare employees regularly go above and beyond the call of duty in their care for the community here in Green Bay. The depth and breadth of the registered nursing profession and all nurses meets the different and emerging healthcare needs of the American population in a wide range of settings. The knowledge and ongoing learning and research of physicians prepares Green Bay and other communities for the future health needs of this community. The constant, dedicated support of medical assistants and all healthcare staff is the solid foundation on which healthcare services in the community are built and offered. The COVID-19 pandemic that began around December 2019 has stretched the resources and staff of healthcare providers for the past 19 months. Healthcare workers in Green Bay and other communities across the country continue to give more than their best each and every day, with dwindling resources at what times felt like no end in sight to this pandemic. The community of Green Bay owes a debt of immense gratitude to healthcare employees of all levels and disciplines for their unwavering support and commitment to the health of our community during the last 19 months. Healthcare employees often go unrecognized for their vital support of our community. So we wanted to make sure to recognize every single healthcare worker in this community. I know a number have joined us tonight, so if you all could rise, we'd love to celebrate you and recognize you for your service this past year. Thank you. And finally, our Small Business of the Year. Small Business of the Year is LiveX. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. LiveX is a technology as service company specializing in full service broadcast design and production. They opened their inaugural Midwest location in Green Bay on October 1st, 2020. LiveX currently offers the services of live design, production, streaming, video, and technology and additional services. LiveX has over a decade of experience in broadcast and streaming, focusing on live events. From producing the official New Year's Eve in Times Square this past year, seen live by over 7 million people, to streaming thousands of productions on multiple platforms. LiveX co-founder, who joins us tonight, Corey Benke, is also co-founder of Cheesehead TV. I'm a big fan, appreciate that work. An independent website dedicated to the fans of the Green Bay Packers. Throughout the pandemic, LiveX worked with Cheesehead TV to connect Packer fans around the world by producing live watch parties from Green Bay and New York, as well as complete coverage of the NFL draft, which was really the only draft coverage worth watching, in my opinion. LiveX has worked with clients to meet the new demands of remote broadcasting, including the use of two technology products developed by LiveX: Rivet, a remote contribution broadcasting app, and Virtual Video Control Room, a cloud-based control room that allows LiveX staff to access productions virtually from anywhere in the world. LiveX is on track to move into a new 12,000 square foot custom-built facility in the Rail Yard Innovation District in the fall of 2021. On a 10-year lease, LiveX will expand from two remote broadcast control rooms to four full remote master control rooms, as well as a master control room and a studio able to produce high-quality broadcasts for the next decade and beyond from their new home in Green Bay. And I wanted to recognize LiveX, obviously, for the great work that they do, but also for what they sort of indicate as a business. To have somebody, a business that's co-located with headquarters in New York City and the city of Green Bay, I think points to a future that's possible here in the age of remote work. So congratulations to LiveX, the entire team, Corey and Aaron and everyone else. Thanks so much for joining us. So that concludes my portion of the program. I did, though, want to end by thanking a number of people who were instrumental in putting tonight together for us. Ahmad, Terry, and Matt from my office staff, really appreciate everything that they did to make tonight possible. Erica from our mailroom, and Shelby, our multimedia specialist extraordinaire in the back, appreciate all the great work. And thanks to my family for putting up with me for these, especially these last 2 years. It's been a little bit of a challenge, but appreciate everything you do for me, so thanks. So with that, I will kick it to Kent, who is going to speak to what he and Gregory have been up to all day, I think beginning at 9 a.m. after a little bit of coffee. So thanks again to them for being here, for creating this incredible art piece that that speaks to our vision for the city of Green Bay. So with that, I will turn things over to Kent and Gregory.
That's right. Hello, everybody. So we got here at 9 o'clock this morning with a bunch of sticks and a roll of canvas, and Gregory.